Well, today we move on to what I classify as the second of six R's of midlife renewal, planning and preparing for your retirement. Let me begin by asking you a question. Do you look forward to retirement, or do you relish your vocation so much that you dread the thought of moving on to life's next phase? I trust your self-image and internal measure of worth is not defined solely by your present job or career. In a few years, you will retire from your job, your business, or profession, but I trust not for an active and joy-filled lifestyle. In fact, your early retirement years, your 60s, well into your 70s and even beyond if you remain healthy, should be the best years of your life. The pressure is off. You have nothing left to prove. You have ample time for mental and spiritual growth, volunteer service to others, time out for the kids and grandkids, travel should you desire, socializing, recreation, and just plain old relaxation and fun. On a future program, we will talk about prepping mentally for retirement. It's a lot like planning for your ideal next job, but easier. You don't have to start a business or persuade someone else to hire you. But before we think about and visualize our ideal retirement agenda, we have some business to take care of. Financing a long and carefree retirement is that business. You certainly don't want to wake up and suffer through sleepless nights long after you retire because you don't know where the money's coming from to pay this month's bills, and you certainly can't let your money run out before you do. On today's program, we are going to talk about saving and investing for retirement. On our next program, we'll talk about some retirement risk management tactics to protect yourself from unexpected post-retirement financial challenges. Today, we have two guests who are not big fans of today's most popular retirement vehicle, the old 401k plan. The good news, they're not just here to knock 401ks, they are here to offer better alternatives. But before we introduce our first guest, here's a little background. When my parents and probably your parents were of middle age in the 1950s, 1960s, or even the earlier to mid-1970s, they probably had their retirement finances covered through a defined benefit pension plan. My father worked for the same company from 1946 until his retirement in 1978. Every year, his company set aside funds and promised my father a set amount of income each year of retirement, no matter how long he lived. And after he passed away, my mother received some residual income until she died, and the company fulfilled that promise. In effect, his employer assumed all the risk and responsibility to ensure the set aside and asset accumulation needed to pay the defined benefit. That was their responsibility. Many of these plans even had inflation protection built in, although inflation wasn't a real issue until around 1978. We can all remember that double-digit inflation in 1979. Oh, was that awful. Unfortunately, beginning in the 1980s, employers began to get a little queasy about those defined benefit plans, and a lot of them started shifting the investment risk to us, the employees, through the then sparkling new 401k savings plans. Today, few employers even offer defined benefit pension plans to new employees, and those that do are most likely government entities. As you probably know, many of these public employee benefit pension plans are based on way too generous assumptions of interest rates and stock market appreciation, and some of them are in serious trouble. You've probably heard about Illinois, California, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Stockton, California, all of which have very serious financial problems because of their pension promises. Per the U.S. Department of Labor, the number of defined benefit plans in the U.S. fell from over 103,000 in 1975, our parents' time, to around 46,500 in 2010. There's another factor of life in today's economy. Even if you presently are offered a defined benefit pension, few of us will stick around with our present employer long enough for it to accrue. My father's pension accrued over 32 years. Back then, a single employer was the norm. Today, the average American has seven different employers over his or her adult working life. The bottom line, though, through 401ks and similar defined contribution schemes, employers have shifted responsibility to us, future retirees, for our own investment decisions. The question to ask yourself today, have I truly stepped up to the plate to take charge of my investments and asset accumulation? Or, perhaps without full consideration, have I foolishly turned the responsibility over to someone else and then just assumed that things were going well? Well, I hate to tell you, friends, but it's nearing 11 o'clock. Do you know where your retirement portfolio is invested? Do you know how well it is performing and how well future income and asset distribution will meet your retirement lifestyle objectives? For how many years will your retirement assets last? Have you factored in potential medical emergencies or long-term care contingencies for you or your life partner? You know, a lot of us are at retirement age are probably going to live into our 90s, even 100, so we have to make sure that the assets will last as long as we do. What about stock market crashes like the dot-com crisis of 2000 or the financial panic of 2008? Are you heavily concentrated in your retirement portfolio in stocks so that you're vulnerable to similar traumas in the future? And what if you're just about ready to retire and another 2008 happens, and who knows where the stock market is going from here? These are just a few of the issues that we're going to talk about today. Well, we spent our last three programs talking about New Year's resolutions, and this week we're going to move on to the second of our six R's for your midlife renewal in 2013, retirement planning. Now, we're not just going to be talking about financing retirement, but also planning out and visualizing a rich and rewarding 25 to 30 years. You will have earned them by the time you retire. But first, the financing. How best can you build a sound retirement portfolio so that you won't outlive your money and have to unretire doing something you don't want to do, like school crossing guard or store greeter? Live your sunset years stress-free, enjoying each day to the fullest, benefiting self and others, spending your time doing precisely what you've always wanted to do, and generate the stream of income you will need to fund the retirement lifestyle you cherish and deserve, regardless of politics, the economy, or how well the stock market performs. As we kick off this segment, I have some good news and some bad news. First, the bad news. Our first guest today says you will not likely accomplish your retirement goals using traditional retirement funding methods. Borrow money from banks for major purchases like home, cars, appliances, while regularly setting aside funds to invest in a company-sponsored 401k or an individual IRA. Turn over your savings for investment to an outside expert fund manager who most likely parks the bulk of your savings into common stock mutual funds. Sit back expecting your assets to appreciate enough over the years to generate the annual cash flow you will need to fund your retirement. And most of us received our wake-up call when the stock market went down in 2008. In fact, relying upon a traditional retirement funding, our guest estimates you have about a 95% chance you will die broke. You wouldn't make an investment with a 5% chance of success, would you? Now for the good news, our guest is here to tell us that there is a better option to fund your retirement years. Our guest is John Jameson, who hosts a program on this very same Web Talk Radio Network called The Wealth Doctor. And John is a college dropout, but he's vaulted into the top 0.5% income bracket, running multiple businesses for the past 23 years. He started in business with no money, no credit, and no job, and bought his first real estate investment property at age 21. He has a successful track record in real estate investing, marketing, sales, and wealth building. And over the past few years, he's spoken to audiences all over the U.S. and Canada on business and real estate success and wealth creation. And he's author of a brand new book, The Perpetual Wealth System, Your Path to Systematic and Guaranteed Riches. Hello, John, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Oh, Roy, thanks so much for having me on board. That's quite a biography, and you know, it's funny, you don't realize over time what you end up accomplishing in life if you just do a little bit at a time, and all that stuff happened over 23 years, and I'm very excited about it, but I'm more excited to be here talking to your folks to show them that, you know, there's a better way to truly achieve financial independence, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, to begin, I have a confession to make. I've always been a fan of the 401ks. Back around 1982, I think it was, or something like that, my employer introduced this then hot new employee benefit, the old 401k, and I plunged right in, and my employer matched my contribution dollar for dollar, and I know a few of the employers do that now, and they're not quite so generous anymore. The plan offered tax deferral, so my investments were made with before-tax rather than after-tax dollars, and it was a great form of systematic savings because I never got hold of the money to spend it. And then my employer doubled my seed money, and as I recall, my employer offered four or five different investment options, and I don't remember precisely what they were, so I didn't have to put all the money into stocks, although I think most of it went there. And federal regulations required that the 401k plans be offered to employees at all levels, so it wasn't just for the high rollers. And a few years later, when I left the company, I was able to roll that money into an IRA and still had no tax hit. And then when I lost the job later and started my own business, didn't have any income coming in, I accessed that. I know there was some penalty, but my tax rate was still well below what I would have been paying on that money when I put it in the first place. So it seemed like a pretty good deal. But in your book and promotion of your book, you argue that IRAs and 401ks are actually government-backed shams that we should get out of. Why are they bad investment vehicles for people to utilize in planning retirement?
Yeah, Roy, you know what you just described with the 401k? The 401k is a tool like any other tool, and there's tools that are better apt to do a job as opposed to other tools. So if you're going to, you know, obviously you're going to hammer a nail and you need a hammer, you don't need a screwdriver. So the results you experience with the 401k are not terrible. The problem you run into is the 401k has been around now since you said basically 1980. So anybody that's in their working lifetime right now, that's really all they know. That's all they've really ever been exposed to.
Yeah.
And we're in a different time now than we were back in 1980 and certainly back in 1950s when basically modern portfolio theory came out. And I'm sure you know what that is. It says, hey, you should take X number of dollars and put it into large cap funds and X number of dollars in small cap funds and international funds and bond funds. And, you know, that strategy worked well for about 40 or 50 years.
Yeah.
But just like anything else, things change, unfortunately. That strategy hasn't changed. And the reason the modern portfolio theory combined with mutual funds and 401ks aren't what they used to be is very simply the cheese has been moved, right? You know, what I tell people is if you went into a doctor's office and they started using technology from the 1950s or 1980s even, I think you'd run out of there screaming because things have changed and they had to upgrade. And unfortunately, what's happened in the financial world, as the whole climate has changed for 401ks and for IRAs and for modern portfolio theory, but unfortunately, most financial people that they're teaching people, they're still teaching the stuff from the 1950s or the 1980s, and we're getting entirely different results because the entire economy is much different than it was.
Yeah. And how is it really different? I mean, just simple. I know it's very complex, but...
Well, no, actually, I can do it very simply. Back in even 1980 or certainly back in the 1950s, we were an economy, and I'm talking about we as the United States, were an economy almost unto ourselves.
Yeah.
It wasn't a world economy. It took days for stock trades to go through. It wasn't instantaneous access and everything super computerized, and it wasn't when the United States sneezes today, China feels it tomorrow and vice versa in Europe and so forth. Now, all because of global internet and global technology and global tech communications, we are absolutely merged together, and that modern portfolio theory doesn't take into account that. And for me, putting money into the stock market these days is for traders, not for long-term savers and investors.
Yeah,
I'm not anti-stock market per se, but the problem you run into, Roy, is especially the group that you're talking to, getting into either retirement or they're maybe 10 years before retirement, we call that the retirement danger zone.
Yeah.
And you need to get geared to be able to retire, and you cannot retire properly out of a mutual fund or out of the stock market. It needs to happen to go into some other vehicles before then to protect the money, and that's one of the things that we teach people. So it's just a global economy. Everything's instantaneous, and it wasn't that way back in the 50s or even the 80s.
Well, you state that millions of baby boomers' retirement savings and investments are at risk, and I guess what you just described is the reason why. But what can those of us at middle age do now if we have most of our money in these kind of 401ks and IRAs? What can we do now to better protect our money at this point?
Well, I think you've got two different issues. You've got the 401k, and then you also have where the money is inside the 401k. So what I'd submit to you is, let's leave the 401k alone just for a second. Let's talk about the money inside the 401k or the IRA.
Yeah.
Most people listening to this, if they're following a traditional financial model, they have their money still in mutual funds, and they're basically subject to the ups and downs of the stock market. And Roy, you hit the nail on the head. You mentioned back in 2007 and 2008 when the market totally collapsed. Well, now it's back, but you still had to deal with 5 years of no growth. And if you were trying to retire at that time, or that was your retirement danger zone, or you were already in full-blown retirement, it was devastated people, and that's why you see people, you mentioned it, working at Walmart and McDonald's who are in their 60s and 70s, and some of them in their 80s, and it's not because many of them want to. It's because they're forced to because they got wiped out. So what you need to do is prepare to retire and make sure that you take your money from at-risk things that can go up and down 20, 30, 40% and put them into guaranteed products and guaranteed income products. So you know every month when you wake up, you're going to have X number of dollars coming in the door. And when I talk to people, almost nobody can tell me what their guaranteed income is going to be in the next 10, 20, or 30 years. So that's the first issue, is where the money is. And I'm going to take a pause, and we can talk about the 401k and some options if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because I don't know just where the money should be. You constantly hear ads and on the radio about putting all your IRAs into gold and silver, but they don't generate any income because they don't pay dividends and they don't pay interest. So I'm not sure just where you should be putting that money for those guaranteed returns. Interest rates on bonds, are just about nothing.
Yep.
And it's kind of a dilemma to me, just where that money should go.
Sure. Well, there's a couple different, several different options. You mentioned gold and silver. I think it all depends on what the client is trying to achieve. And most of them, and you and I would be included in this probably, is when you get to a certain age, you're worried about income.
Yeah.
It's not so much about the growth. You're concerned about the return of your money, not necessarily a huge return on the money, but you want to make sure that it's there and you want to make sure it's producing income. One of the best vehicles for that particular situation, is a very specifically designed fixed indexed annuity.
Yeah.
And it has to be designed properly, because annuities are like just like any like mutual funds or like stocks, and the fact of there's thousands of them with 1,000 different rules and everything else. So one of the things that we had to do at our company is take a lot of time to go research different annuities that would produce income, would guarantee the principal, would produce income for the rest of your days, and actually provide nice returns on your money along with the guaranteed income for life if it's set up properly. So
that
can be one vehicle.
That's very interesting, because to tell a story on myself, I went to a financial advisor a few years back, and he described this annuity, which I thought was a fixed income annuity, and he kept talking about this guaranteed 7% annual return, but I wasn't listening very carefully, because what that really meant is you had to die to get that, and it was actually a variable annuity, which still hasn't recovered from the money.
No, my goodness. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a great story. Unfortunately, I'm sorry it had to happen to you, but it's a great story to illustrate that it has to be a fixed indexed annuity, and even that, it has to be a very specifically designed fixed indexed annuity with the proper company. If you're going to be in a variable annuity, you might as well stay in your mutual funds, because
that
rides up and down with the market. That is not a guaranteed thing. Like you said, you got to die to get it, and it's a very different animal than a properly designed fixed indexed annuity.
So all those those ideas, well, people should listen into your show because I'm sure you go into that kind of thing in detail.
We do. We talk a lot about that. We also talk about properly designed whole life insurance contracts. And when I deal with people who are maybe in their 50s and 60s or 70s, they don't think that they can put money inside a properly designed whole life, or they don't think there's the benefit. They don't think they need the insurance. We don't do it for the insurance. We do it for the 15 living benefits that are associated with properly designed whole life. And again, it has to be properly designed. I'm not talking about a standard whole life insurance contract that you're going to get from 99% of the insurance agents out there that are built for insurance. These are what we call investment grade insurance policies, and they're built for liquid cash and tax benefits and so forth.
Yeah, that, so it's no longer the best thing to do to buy term and invest the difference.
Well, I think 2008 showed people what a disaster that was. I have to tell you a very quick story. I had a gentleman I used to work with in a real estate office. This guy worked his whole life for General Motors. He also sold real estate on the side very successfully, and he was a commercial property appraiser, made a ton of money, put a ton of money away, had all kinds of money in stock, mutual funds. Well, when 2007 hit, number one, he lost most of his money in the stock market because he made the mistake of having it in a couple core companies, and those companies got buried. Yeah. So he lost most of his net worth there. His real estate collapsed. He was in the Metro Detroit area. Yeah. So the real estate he thought he had collapsed. He got sick at the same time. And long story short, he can never make that up. And now he's retired, and he's basically ill, living on an income that should not have been the case. If he would have made some simple transfers back, 5-10 years ago, he would be in a totally different position. And he would be in a position that when he does pass away, as you know, and Roy, nobody gets out alive. Yeah. When he does pass away, he would leave far more wealth behind for his family or foundations or charities. He just wasn't structured properly to retire. You can't be structured the same way when you're 50 to 60 than you are when you're 20 to 30. And unfortunately, almost nobody changes what they're doing when they get older. They just let it ride because they don't know what to do. So we show people how to protect that money, how to guarantee income, and make sure they don't have to go back to work at Walmart or what have you.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that. It's such a good point because we're talking to people in their 40s, late 40s, maybe 50s, even early 60s, and say that they've been investing in an IRA or a 401k for years. What should they do now? I mean, are you telling people they should pull that money out of the IRA or what can they do?
It's a great question, and it's going to depend on the individual client. One of the things we show people how to do what we call tax bracket targeting. So I'll give you a real-life example. I got a client who had $900,000 in a 403B. He had done well. He had saved a lot of money. Once he realized what the four wealth drains are that we talk about a little bit more on our show, he realized he would have a lot more money. But still, he was able to accumulate $900,000. Well, if you pull $900,000 out of an IRA in one shot, you got to pay all the tax on it, and it's brutal. So we're able to basically structure him where he's going to
– if you're under a certain age, you even have to pay a penalty on top
That's
of
right.
that.
That's right. He was past that phase, but you're right, before 59 and a half. And by the way, I firmly believe those penalty dates are going up. That will go to 64 or 65 years old, and the penalty is going to go from 10% to 30% because the government,
fabulous.
There's $10 trillion in there, Roy, in those in qualified plans, and Uncle Sam is salivating. That's why I say, look, I don't know what he's going to do. I'm not one of these guys that gloom and doom and they're going to take everything. But I will tell you, there's precedent for it. If you study the Social Security system, that was supposed to be a trust fund. And in the 60s, the government got their hands on it and put it what they call on budget. And now there's no more money in it. It's just IOUs, and we're worried about funding it. How are we going to fund it? Because the government got their hands on it. Well, now there's $10 to $11 trillion with a T in private qualified plans, which are 401s and IRAs, and they want their piece of it. So they are going to change the rules and regulations when it comes to all that stuff. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned six financial myths that keep so many of us broke at middle age, but keep banks, Wall Street, and Uncle Sam rich. What are some of these myths, and what can we do to counteract them?
Well, one of the myths that we talk about, and this is not just for people in their 40s and 50s, it's people at all ages, but I'll have them do an exercise, and you know, your listeners can do it when we're done. Take a piece of paper, add up all the payments you've paid to lending institutions over your lifetime on cars, boats, real estate, credit cards, student loans, whatever you've paid out over your lifetime. It'll take a little while, but it's worthwhile exercise.
Yeah.
You're going to come up with a big figure. Whatever that figure is, double it, because that means by giving up all that control of the money to the banks, that means that you didn't get any growth on it, which you would have if you'd have put it inside of kind of any decent vehicle that gave you consistent compounded interest.
Yeah.
So let's just say that's $1 million. Times it by two, that's $2 million. Now compare that figure to the amount of money that you have saved for your retirement.
Yeah.
And ask me a question, which figure is bigger?
Yeah, I thought that was a fascinating exercise because everyone just concentrates on the asset building that's in their 401k or whatever, and they neglect all that money they've been paying out in interest and fees on their mortgages.
You are so right. People just look at their money very compartmentalized and not as a whole. And that's why, you know, we show people that if you do it right, so what's the answer to that? The answer is to be your own bank and to create a pool of money that you use just like bankers have for thousands of years and use what we call interest volume and interest velocity that has been working against people their whole lives, even successful people, even people that accumulate money.
Yeah.
Interest volume and interest velocity is still working against you if you're not being the bank. So we show people how to be the bank and create tax-free generational wealth. And one of the vehicles we do that with is that properly designed whole life insurance contract. Once the money's in there, we can access most of it right away, and now we can self-finance our cars and self-finance a lot of different things as opposed to just leaving our money locked up in the market and hoping it goes up in value and hoping we don't lose 40%. It's a much more systematic, automatic way to build wealth.
So you're saying if I'm 45 or 50, say I'm living roughly paycheck to paycheck, but I am able to set aside funds for a 401k or whatever, I'm not quite living paycheck to paycheck. What I should do then, I mean, I'm not getting specific, obviously, because that only applies to a specific individual, but I could I'd consider like putting that into a whole life policy or this investment type policy you're talking about or something like that that would then build up funds so that the next time I wanted to buy a car, I would pull money out of that instead of going for a bank loan.
Absolutely, and you'll create so much more wealth with that. That's exactly what I recommend to people because you got access to the money without penalties. There's 15 living benefits that we don't have the time to go into today, but there's 15 living benefits that people don't even realize what happens with life insurance. And, you know, Roy, it's funny. When I was growing up through the financial ranks over 20 years ago, I was taught, don't you ever put money inside a whole life insurance contract.
Yeah.
Well, here's the funny thing about that. If you study what money does with money, all right, four of the five biggest U.S. banks have about 40% of their tier one, their money, their tier one core assets, they've got it in whole life insurance contracts and always have. Fortune 500 companies own hundreds of billions of dollars of cash value whole life insurance. Family dynasties, you know, the big names with the Vanderbilts and the Fords and all that, the Rockefellers, they have boatloads of money inside whole life insurance contracts. So my question to you would be, Roy, is if all these other gurus are so right and it's such a lousy place to put money, why is all the wealth there?
Yeah.
Why is all the wealth there? It's because they know more about money than we do, and they don't, even the gurus that talk about that today and say, hey, don't ever put your money there, friends don't like friends, buy whole life. To be fair to them, what they understand about whole life, they're right, because they're talking about a very traditional whole life policy that doesn't build any cash value for years, it takes years and years. So for what they understand, they're right. The problem is they don't know the whole picture. And once you understand the whole picture, and this had to be taught to me because I was anti this when I first heard it several years ago, and then I thought, you know what? The numbers don't lie, and if you study wealth, that's where wealth puts their money. So that's what we show people how to do.
Yeah, we had a program a few months back where we talked to a fellow that talked about if you want to get rich, follow what the rich do, and that definitely is good advice.
That's it. Don't get advice from broke people. And if you know, I tell people, you know, obviously your people can't see me, but I'm what's known as calorically challenged. You know, I'm a wide load. I wouldn't take weight loss advice from me. But yet so many people go out and get financial advice from their friends and family, and most of their friends and family owe them money. So you got to be very careful where you get your advice from.
Well, I'm not asking for exhaustive details, and obviously people can tune into your radio program, but I was fascinated by some of the promises that is promised in your book, like your money is guaranteed to grow every year without fail, and you can grow your wealth tax-free for life, and reverse the money flow from negative to positive over your lifetime. All those things sound fascinating, and I would highly recommend that people tune in your program and also visit your website to preview your book. And how can listeners get a hold of your book at this point?
Well, they can go. It's being published through Morgan James, but it's not out with them yet. I still have my self-published version, which is a phenomenal book. They can go to just the book title. It's called ThePerpetualWealthSystem.com. ThePerpetualWealthSystem.com. They'll see my smiling face. They'll see an intro video. There's some free information there. There's a free chapter they can read. And then, of course, they can buy the book. And one of the things I'd like to do to extend to anybody who's listening to this that will take the time to do that, I'd like to give them a discount on the book, and I'd like to ship it at my cost. And to do that, when they order the book, they're going to have to put in, they're going to ask them for a promo code. And here's the promo code. It's BK, as in book, BK, D-I-S, as in discount, B-K-D-I-S. It all has to be capitalized. It all has to be capitalized. Put that in there. It'll automatically lower the price of the book, and we'll ship it at our cost, just as a thank you to you for having me on the show and anyone who's listening who will take the time to order the book and change their financial life.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a great deal to me. And again, you know, we here on this program concentrate on all aspects of middle age and assuring that your second half is filled with joy and fulfillment. And John's program concentrates specifically on the financial part of preparing for the later years and preparing for life in the present years and making them the best possible that you can have. So I would highly recommend you listen to both programs and also that you go to his website. And once again, that website address is you have two of them, actually. You can review his firm at www.perpetualfinancingsystem.com or the book at www.theperpetualwealthsystem.com. Is that correct?
I know it's correct, and they're both linked, so they'll be able to, you know, one site feeds the other one. And also, I want to give you another website, if I could, real quick, if they'd like to listen to some archive shows and tune into the radio show. The domain on that will take them, if you go to wealthdoctorradio.com, wealthdoctorradio.com will take them to the site that's got some archive shows.
And you can listen to all those shows. I love listening to the old shows because they oftentimes cover topics that aren't covered in the current week's show. So
for sure. Yeah, there's a lot to learn, as you know, and you're doing some exciting things for people listening to this show. So I appreciate the time on it and the ability to work together to, you know, to bring financial independence and safety to people who are going into that, you know, that second phase of life.
Well, you've certainly opened a whole new area of consideration for me. I'm a little bit too old to start all over at this point, but I certainly would recommend anyone in their 40s or 50s or whatever to listen to what John has to say and consider some of these alternatives to what for years we were always taught was the right way to prepare for retirement. And thank you so much for joining us today, and hope you have a great day, and your show is a big success.
Thanks, Roy. I appreciate you being on, and we look forward to helping people who are listening to this. And just a last little tip. Even people who are in their, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s, we have a lot of clients in that age group. We just have a different strategy for depending on what phase of life that they're in. So just because, you know, whatever age they might be, have them get in contact with us, and we can put together a plan that's going to, you know, protect their money and provide income for them. And I thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thanks so much for being here.
All right. Have a good day.
Well, our prior guest filled us in on some of the pitfalls of relying on a 401k savings plan that's managed by someone else to prepare for retirement. And our present guest reveals one additional drawback of 401ks. They are designed primarily to make money for the Wall Street firms who manage your account. If you're like most Americans, most of your 401k money probably goes into stock-based mutual funds. And on his website, our next guest compares mutual fund managers with the Las Vegas slots. You may win some and lose some, but the odds are always stacked in favor of the house. And that's not very good odds if you're saving and investing for retirement. Here's a frightening statistic he gives us. Big financial institutions siphon off $1.3 trillion per year in management fees, and it's all 100% legal. You know, that sounds like the government, federal government deficit, doesn't it? Yes, it's even supported by our U.S. government. Fortunately, our second guest today, Andy Tanner, is here to offer an alternative. Andy is a paper assets expert, a successful business owner and investor, and he's a coach and advisor for Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Stock Success System. I'm sure you've probably heard of Robert Kiyosaki and his Rich Dad, Poor Dad book and other programs. And he's also Andy's also author of the new book, 401 Chaos, which is an interesting title. Hello, Andy, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to coming on your program, so thank you.
Well, let's begin with the bad news. Please tell us why saving money now for retirement really makes little, if any, sense.
Well, you know, to really understand it, we go back to pensions, and it's an interesting story. In the 1960s, there was a company called the Studebaker Company,
The old Studebaker cars?
Yeah, the cars.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going the Wayback Machine a little bit. And so they went under, and they had all these, you know, good, hard-working employees, you know, looking forward to this pension. And, of course, when they went under, they couldn't afford it. So they petitioned the government, President Kennedy at the time, and they said, hey, we've got to reform this. So by the time we got it reformed in 1974, Gerald Ford signed an act called ERISA, which stands for Employee Retirement Income Security Act.
Yeah.
And that really set the, we always have a battle between labor and management. And so this really stuck it to management, say, hey, you've got to be accountable. We, in that act, developed something called the PBGC, which is the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
If they go under, then these guys are supposed to pick up the bill.
Yeah.
Well, in 1978, 4 years after ERISA, the IRS changed its tax code and developed something called a 401k.
Oh.
And there was an attorney. It was originally designed to give people a tax loophole on deferred revenue. And there's an attorney named Ted Bennett. And as he was studying this, he said, hey, you know, he was a tax consultant. He said, hey, we could shift this a little bit and get people to contribute to their own 401ks and let the company match it with pre-tax dollars, and it would save billions of dollars. So the first issue that we have to face when we look at a solution is understanding the problem. And part of the problem was this was never designed to shoulder the burden of retirement. There was never a brain trust or a think tank that said, hey, here's a better way to do retirement than a pension. And so Ted Bennett, he just created a monster, and by the year 2000, in the Fortune 100, we had more people doing defined contribution programs rather than defined benefit. And today in the Fortune 100, it's about 90% contribution. And the reason this has happened is it saves the companies lots of money. So let's talk about what the real problem is and what the solution is. In the past, when a person went to school and got a job, they were able to get a company that would pay them a pension. And this was what I call new money. And this makes it real simple for your listeners. New money.
Yeah.
It wasn't money that I'd saved. It wasn't money that I'd invested. It wasn't money in a savings account or a bond. It was new money from the company. And if a person learns how a financial statement works, it didn't affect their assets, didn't build any assets, didn't drop their liabilities. It was income only.
Yeah.
It's income only.
That's really what they wanted.
Exactly. And that's what we need. And so the solution for someone middle-aged, I'm middle-aged. I fall in that category as one of your listeners.
I'm stretching it a bit, but I call myself middle-aged.
Well, we'll tell people our age. I just won't tell them my weight. That's what I'd keep secret. But as someone our age looks forward into retirement, you know, we've got this window that's closing.
Yeah,
some people have 10 years, some people 5. It's right around the corner for many of us.
Yeah.
And our solution, we're going to need new money. We're going to need money for food and clothing and some taxes and some travel and some fun.
Yeah, hopefully more than just food and clothing.
So what a 401k has done is it's trying to solve a new money problem with old money and appreciation.
Oh,
and so when we look at the new model, instead of having this endless stream of checks from the government, or an endless stream of checks from your employer, that gets cut off, and now you're pitting your assets against these expenses that occur every single month.
Yeah.
And you cannot depend on appreciation 100% of the time. So
no, that's for sure. We learned that in 2008, and as you point out on your website, you learned it back in 2000 with the .com.
Yeah, I took that hit pretty heavy, and many of us have, right?
Yeah.
Many of us have, and so there's so many things right now that suggest we could have other drops. And so the solution is simply this. If we can educate ourselves to learn about different types of investments that create new money rather than appreciation, we can set ourselves up. So that's really an important point for everyone listening, is to understand the difference between an investment that must appreciate and an investment that invents new money. Can I give you an example?
Yeah, you're talking about cash flow investing, I think you call it in your website.
Absolutely, cash flow investing. So I'll give you an example. I have a friend who flips houses, And so he'll go out and he'll try to find a property distressed, and he'll buy it, try to fix it up, and flip it for a gain. Well, you know, that's old money that is appreciated. He put his money in the house, and the house got more valuable. Where one of the investments I really like is I like real estate that pays that have renters pay me.
Yeah, so that's a lot more reliable than trying to resell a house that you put money into.
Boy, especially if you're educated and you know how to vet your renters and rent to the right people. I've had people in my homes for years, and they don't want to leave because I give them a good value. I give them a good deal. And so that cash flow that is produced on a monthly basis can last indefinitely. In fact, I can even bequeath those things to my children and give them a leg up. And so that's the difference between, you know, something we buy like the house and we're expecting the house price to go up in value. That's old money appreciating, much like a 401k, where if we can learn how to invest in investments that produce new money every month, well, then we don't have that hourglass that is shrinking and we're less likely to outlive our savings. We actually have a machine that creates new money. So in a word, the biggest solution I can give someone is it's an educational issue, and they say, do I want to learn about the type of investments that bring new money in instead of just old savings we're trying to appreciate?
Yeah, and can we get into this and be educated on it even if in middle age we don't have a lot of money to start with? That's kind of a scary thing is, you know, to generate enough cash flow to fund our retirement if we start from near a zero base at this point.
Boy, that's a great question because there's a lot of people who have lost jobs that are middle-aged. They found that their job might have become obsolete, or maybe they just want someone younger who they pay less.
Yeah.
Someone might have invested in some of these capital gain investments and had some bad luck. So that's a great question. And I think the answer is what a person believes. I mean, I'm 44 years old, and so I qualify, I think, as middle-aged.
Yeah, you're barely.
Right on the edge of it, right?
Yeah.
And, but you know what? I think I'm as young as I feel.
Yeah.
And in my view, I know that I can always learn new things. I don't like the idea of school saying, well, you're going to go for 4 years, you can't learn anything new. So I think if a person believes that they can learn something new, absolutely. You can learn about these investments. And one of the neat things, Roy, is you can invest with no money. The best investments are the ones where we use either other people's money or we use contracts to create value without having to put a lot of our own money at risk.
Yes, I know you have a video training course called The Four Pillars of Investing, and we don't have a lot of time, but could you give us those four pillars just to give people a feel for what kind of education they should be looking to obtain?
Well, the four pillars that was developed, in my experience, I've been investing for about 20 years now, and over the last 10, I've really switched from capital gain investments to cash flow investments. And so a couple summers ago, I went through everything I'd learned, and I realized that every decision I make comes down to four things. And so the first pillar is a fancy name, but it doesn't need to be intimidating. It's called fundamental analysis.
Yeah.
And this is really looking at the strength of an entity. A bank, if they're going to invest in you and loan you money, they're going to look at your financial statement. If I, as a stock investor, am going to invest in a stock, I'm going to look at their financial statement.
Yeah, so many traders, short-term traders today, ignore the fundamentals, but you say we shouldn't do that.
No, and I'll tell you right now, the one to really study is the big picture. The things that move in our market are big picture. You know, I was just in Rome last week, and I was giving a seminar to some people in Rome, and they were astounded at the fundamentals of their country in Italy. And, of course, the United States, their fundamentals isn't much better. So if we understand the fundamentals, which is really the strength of the entity, looking at their financial statement, we get insight on what's likely to happen.
And that applies to government entities as well as to corporations, then, you're
saying. You know, you couldn't be more right. You do it on three levels. I have to get control of my own financial statement, my own fundamentals.
Yeah.
I have to understand the corporations I invest in or the real estate deals' fundamentals. And like you just said, the sovereign picture is dire. Got to keep an eye on that sovereign picture, that big national and global picture.
Yeah, that's a little scary right now, too, in this country.
Well, it can be an opportunity, too. You know,
it's
and so we have technical analysis, And technical analysis sounds technical, but it's really just the story of supply and demand.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we can use, for example, in the stock market, we can learn to read a stock chart.
Yeah.
And it helps us understand trend, and there's signals and patterns. People are creatures of habit that can help warn you if things are starting to turn. We can see that come out in the chart. So it does.
Yeah, I think most people, a lot of people are scared off by all these technical terms, but it, like you say, it's really just supply and demand and common sense. You learn to read these charts and a few things like that, and
I think
you
you're
can
dead
be
right.
Heavy.
I think you're dead right, and it can be complicated depending on who your teacher is, and what we found is that our talent is making these things simple to understand, and that's
Amen.
A big benefit to how we teach it and use very basic examples. Because I don't know about you, you know, I was just a basketball player in college. I barely got in. I couldn't jump, I couldn't shoot, but I could foul. So they put me on the team, and so I wasn't one of these smart engineering type guys. And so I've had to learn this and put it in language that I can understand, and that's the way we teach it.
Yeah.
So once we have fundamentals down, we have technicals, we understand what's likely to happen when it's happening, then we position ourselves. And I'll give you an example. I was in Orlando recently down at the Money Show, and I was speaking to some oil and gas guys. And a lot of people will bet on the price of oil by buying a future, but other people will actually buy production. Now, that's risky. That's no question it's risky, but we answer those types of risk with education. And one of my hedge fund partners that's in our hedge fund, he has oil that is produced. He invests in production. So that's new money. That's cash flow.
Yeah.
And a lot of people never think about investing in something that can produce new money. Well, if the price of oil goes up, he's making more money. Where everyone else at the gas pump is crying, he's cheering when it approaches $4 and $5 a gallon.
Right.
So another simple example of an investment that would require information. But cash flow is about positioning. If I'm concerned about inflation, the price of oil, rather than being a buyer of the oil, I get myself educated to manage the risk of being an oil seller. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and what's the fourth pillar?
Well, the fourth pillar is the big one. It's risk management, because you got to prepare for a rainy day. And this isn't something your listeners would be unfamiliar with. I'll bet a lot of people listening have a house and have insurance.
Yeah.
And you can't control whether your house starts on fire. You try to prevent fire. You make sure you go outside if you want to have a smoke, or maybe you don't smoke in bed. You have a fire extinguisher. You don't play with matches.
Yeah.
But you know what? If your house does catch on fire, you've got the insurance. That's one thing a 401k doesn't have, does it?
If the
401k begins to drop, people just have to shrug their shoulders. And so the fourth pillar is risk management.
Yeah, you want to be positioned well whether the market goes up, down, or sideways.
That's exactly right. And so there's opportunity. One thing that's nice about stocks, which is my specialty, is there is opportunity even when things go down if you're educated. So I would say this. People always ask, should I get out of my 401k? I say, not really, because your 401k isn't the problem. The problem is not knowing how to invest. And so it's usually
401k is just giving the responsibility over to somebody else that's taking a big fat fee, even if they aren't meeting a benchmark.
You couldn't be more right. And, you know, that's we the book 401k House chronicles a lot of problems, but we do like to focus on solutions. And the greatest decision a person can make, whether they're underage, overage, middle-aged, or whatever age you are, you can always learn something new.
Yeah.
And you can always increase your position in life with knowledge. And that's really what the issue is. Most people see their retirement crisis as a money crisis.
Yeah.
But actually, it's an education issue.
You're exactly right. It's an attitude and an education issue. In addition to education, you have to have the attitude that you're not retiring from life. You're going on to better things and doing them your way without the need to put bread on the table. And if you can set up the finances so they work, then everything else falls into place, so you can have a wonderful life.
Well, and I like the way you put it. You talk about having a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And that people can't go around sleepwalking. And if anything that happened in 2007, 2008 in that landslide, that should be a wake-up call to each of us to want to get more involved with our investing, not less involved.
Well, how can someone obtain your access to your training course and information about it? I know you have a website, and tell people about that.
Sure. Well, we have several resources for people. If you'd like to follow me on Facebook, a lot of people do that, and I give videos out for free there. There's my website, which is andytanner.com. We have lots of free videos there. We also have products. You mentioned we have a training course called The Four Pillars of Investing, and you can learn about that at thefourpillarsinvesting.com. And then if you'd like to learn more about some of the challenges of 401ks, you can go to 401chaos.com, and chaos is K-A-O-S.
Yeah, the book title is the 401k-A-O-S, but you don't put the... No,
and
I like that title.
The pun is intended, absolutely,
yeah.
No question.
Yeah,
so
well, I would highly recommend. I went to both Andy's website, andytanner.com, and to the 401 Chaos website, and I'd highly recommend both of them. And thank you, Andy, so much for joining us today. And I want to thank both of our guests today for debunking some of the myths about the positives of traditional stock-based 401k plans, and for that matter, IRAs as reliable instruments to fund your retirement. You can't just put the money in and let it sit there and depend on someone else to give you a bountiful retirement. But I trust you'll heed their advice and closely examine your present retirement portfolio and your options going forward. And please join us again next week, and we'll take a further look at preparing for retirement. And thanks so much, Andy, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much, and I want to wish you and everyone else the best in their investing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you.